ever attend that. I have no
interest
in that.
Radio.
This is being smarter than former President Trump because he's banning dozens of math books for critical race theory references. He joked that Trump said he won the election, but everyone was just able to look at the numbers and see he was wrong. He said that's why DeSantis is a step ahead. First you ban the math books, then nobody knows how to count the votes. You're listening to The Latest on NBC News Radio.
Make the Healthy by Nature show your ticket to feeling great. I'm certified clinical nutritionist and best-selling author Marty Whittaker. For more than 20 years, I've interviewed renowned health experts who tell us how to have more energy, a better memory, prevent disease, and be happy. We have fun and welcome your calls.
Healthy by Nature, Thursdays at 7 a.m. Learn more at hbnshow.com. That's hbnshow.com. And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and rain at times today. High temperatures around 57, 58 degrees. Tonight, the rain will dissipate. We'll see still mostly cloudy skies. Low temperatures back down to about 48. Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies. A few sun breaks. High temperatures around 59, 60. With mostly cloudy skies for Tuesday night, low temperatures back down to about 46. Wednesday, partly sunny skies. High temperatures around 65, 66. But the clouds and rain will move back in for Thursday night, rolling into Thursday.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We've got a great show for you today. Joining me, Dr. Dawn Reno Langley is joining me here today. We're going to talk about you are divine. You know, it's a search for the goddess in all of us. And I'm acutely reminded today, you know, I've gotten a number of emails from you all based on the show we did last night with Mark and I, and honoring Women's History Month, and also honoring the strength and the power of the women in the Ukraine. And I got a lot of emails and about the fact that we took the time to do that. We recognize the power and strength of women all over the world, even though Women's History Month is a thing that started in the United States. It is not the energy of that. It's about honoring, you know, what is the journey, what it's like, where we've been, what we've done, and where we are meant to go. And if I've learned one thing in 20 years doing this, is it so important, as my friend Lynn McTaggart would say, is for all of us to hold the intention of nothing but peace and freedom and do that in whatever way you want. Because as we search for the goddess in all of us, we will find, after speaking with Dawn that and going through her fabulous book, what we might find is that there's something we relate to at certain point in times in our life. Maybe at one point in time in our life, we're eagle woman. Maybe another point in time in our life, we're a different goddess. Maybe whatever it is, time that we get to acknowledge what it is, why it is, who it is, and how it is we manifest that energy. And the fact that I get to speak with Dr. Langley about this and about this incredible book, which we will talk about today, is how much we have not talked about it. You know, how much we have not talked about the warriors, the goddesses, you know, even when I think about the feminine face of God, you know, how often have we left that part of who we are out of the conversation? But that's what we're going to do today. because I have a very incredible guest joining me here. You know, writer, theater critic, editor, writing coach, you know, author, you name it. What we are here to talk about is who she has become, what she is passionate about, and why this book now is a message for our time and the boldness that we're seeing of women. The image, and I'll leave you with this, but let me bring on Dr. Lundgren. Thank you for joining me here today, Dawn. It's so great to have you on the show.
It's such a pleasure to be here, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, because it is so important to talk about this.
The image that hit me last night, and Mark and I spent a lot of time in the beginning of the show, the image that struck me reminded me of growing up in an era where men and women, but women in particular, were highly energized goddess energy. Now, a lot of the people that we have that are of a younger generation don't even know Gloria Steinem's name.
Right.
You know, if I say Bella Abzug, they just don't know about that. But the image that happened last night as I was reading your book again, it just hit me. A woman, elderly woman, in Russia, protesting and being dragged off and arrested. Now, if that's not finding the goddess in her, I don't know what is. What do you think?
Oh, she absolutely has it. That heart is huge, and obviously she's not fighting for herself. She's fighting for her family, and that's what this is all about. It's not, I'm not saying that divine feminine and divine masculine have to be split. I believe we have both in our body, but what we haven't done is to appreciate that type of feminine energy that is strong and powerful and has been labeled mean or or, you know, throw her out of the conference room. You know, that kind of energy, that kind of strength has been in so many goddesses and so many philosophical religions, whatever you want to call them, all over the world. I mean, in a lot of religions, not only were we the top dog, but we created the world, the sun, the earth, the moons, everything. And I think that if we got back even a tiny portion of the respect that we gave goddesses back before the world was, quote, civilized, not only would we be much stronger within ourselves and able to say no and just have it be no excuses, no, I'm sorry, but, you know, we kind of couch even our language with these apologies for being female, and we shouldn't have to. But my point is if we do that for ourselves, we do it for each other. And when we do that, we create, I've seen it happen in my own life when I was publishing my last book. I created this net of women who just kind of buoyed me up through the whole journey and helped me on every single leg of it and was there. And it was such an incredibly powerful force. You know, we've lost that a little bit, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We've competed with each other a lot of times. And I think that I, for one, I'm trying to give back now to the women who are younger than I am, who may be coming up through the ranks and who need some support. And somebody just say, you know what, you may not want to do it that way. You may want to think of it this way.
Yeah, I'm at the same place as you are. But one of the things that I'm really, really interested in, you know, that it relates to the time we live in is when you open the book by really having a conversation with us about both the divine feminine and divine masculine. And so often it's very difficult for people to have a conversation about both. You know, in my experience, you know, when you try to have a conversation about both, I always have to preface it, especially if I'm doing a workshop, right? Because, especially a workshop with women, And I come out and say, you know, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this, feminine, masculine, goddesses, gods. We're going to talk about that today. And I will tell you that mostly, for me, my show-up energy is part of the divine masculine. And you could see people's mouths just drop. Like, we're not here to talk about that, Pat. We're here to talk about the divine feminine.
But you have to talk about both.
Thank you. That's and I was thrilled to see how you opened the book, mm-hmm. because it sets the stage for why we need to find the divine feminine and the divine goddess in all of us. Mm-hmm. Not that it doesn't exist. It has literally vanished.
Yeah.
In conversation.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yes, I believe so. And, you know, a lot of it is falls under a term that is uncomfortable to most people, and we chose to keep it out of the book because the book is supposed to be about empowering
yep.
women. But through the centuries, through our history, there has been a holocaust of women. Just women. It didn't really matter what era, family structure, what race, religion, whatever. A lot of the deaths, a majority of the deaths of women in history have been through abuse,
yep.
or, you know, being killed for being female and knowing how to use an herb, or being killed for being female and wanting to dance in the moon, or not listening to your husband, or not cooking the meal right. And there's just millions, billions of women who have never been put on the roll that have killed because of being female. It's the women's holocaust. And I think over the years, we get blind to it, but it's still happening.
It's still happening, and I love that you said that. Maybe that's the next article you write, because I haven't had the right words to think about it, but as I was going through your book, I got to sit across, I got to meet so many amazing women. You're one of them. See, people ask me, oh, my God, Pat, every show you do is in support of somebody else. You don't have a book. And I said, you know, I love honoring the people that come on here. I especially love honoring people that honor other people. And that has been a 20-year journey for me. But I have to say, I was reading your book, and I was struck. I can't remember which chapter it was. I think it might have been The Feminine Face of God. I can't remember. But I reflected. I had a flashback of my corporate career, right? You know, corporate career, a researcher, all of that. But I had an image of sitting across the table. And funny, you're showing up today exactly with her glasses. And I'm not kidding. I was sitting across the table at a corporate event from Gloria Steinem. And we brought Gloria in. And Linda, who's the producer that brought you on today, gave up her seat so I could sit and have lunch with Gloria Steinem.
Wow.
And I have never been so shell-shocked ever, but her presence was so bold, her manner was so graceful, and I looked at her chewing on a piece of something, and I just said to her, what is the call to action here? And you know those big glasses, right? And she stopped. And she looked at me and she said, every day do something outrageous.
Hmm.
Now, I got to interview her later on in life doing the show, and I got to give her an award. And I'm reading your book, rings true in every chapter and almost every paragraph you have here. And I want to ask you this question. How do we get this message? How do we bring this forward? Other than you and me mentoring women, how do we bring it forward to ignite that spark that I got to experience in a time of mega women crazy change. How do we do that in today's world?
I think, you know, unfortunately, I think that it's already been started, but the Me Too movement, even before that, when I marched in 2016, was it, or 17, when we had those little pink hats, and I thought, wow, it's back, you know, we're marching again. And it was good, but Me Too kind of brought it to a real moment.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, how come so many of us have experienced degrading abuse throughout our whole lives? You know, I got it just from being a blonde little girl, you know, right from the time I was able to understand somebody was patting me on my head because I looked cute, you know. And it was never accepted that I had a brain. I mean, I really think that I'm not going to say the movement, because I think that the movement has gone on and morphed and changed so many different ways in the past 200 years. But I think that if we continue with recognizing ourselves in Me Too moments, then we also need to recognize ourselves as survivors. And we're going to change this past, this history. And like I said, you know, I really think it's just a matter of sitting down with somebody and talking to them. I talked to 30 or 40 women when I was researching this book, all asking them the same questions about their spiritual journeys and how they saw themselves as women in their spiritual journeys. And I was fascinated by their stories. That, to me, just sitting down and listening to another woman's story says to me, we have walked some of the same path because we are of the same background. We're female-oriented, female, you know, we call ourselves feminine. So that is part of our path, whatever, you know, country or town or whatever we live in, we all do have that path. My philosophy of the divine feminine and the divine masculine is that I was a lot more of the divine feminine as I was younger, when I was younger. The more I age, the more I find that strength of that divine masculine. It's kind of like flipped. And I see my male friends, they're like becoming my girlfriends. You know, they're girlfriends from high school, and they're becoming softer. So I really do think that we balance through the years, too. You know, we have this fluidity in ourselves.
I love that you mentioned that, because what you talk about in the book is you talk about so many things. But I went back and I reread Divine Traits, because I'm the flip version of that. You know, I'm the kid whose uncles gave her boxing gloves at age 5 and walked around with a two-gun holster for most of her 3 to age 6 years, right? And it served me really well in the corporate world.
Yeah, we don't get taught how to deal with the corporate world.
No. And, you know, it took me 5 years to make amends to all the people.
Mm-hmm.
That took the brunt of that from me, right?
Good.
But what I love about today is, and maybe you can talk about this, I went through the traits, and I love your conversation on perseverance. My stepmom taught me about perseverance. But I am at a loss for how to help. In the way that I was helped as a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old. You know, Bella Abzug in my face, right? I mean, I was like, what is going on? But I came back. And the reason I don't know how to help is I did a survey and a poll. And this is really what you address in your book. And I did a poll. And it's got to be about 6 months ago now, when the Senate had on the floor the bill that Senator Patty Murray, our senator, co-authored The Equal Pay for Women. It was put there and almost went into law, and it didn't pass. And it didn't even, didn't pass the filibuster, the whole thing. It had maybe 10 minutes of news time. And all it talked about was the reason it didn't pass because they didn't want frivolous lawsuits. The poll I took of women, one in age groups, there's a certain age group which I'm not going to mention, 0 out of 200 knew it was a thing. 5 out of 200 in a different age group heard of it. And 0 in the entire survey understood what they lost. Now, I need that goddess to show up now and help us. I don't know who she is. I thought maybe it was Athena. I don't know. But that is a goddess trait that I've never experienced in my life that we've forgotten. I'd love for you to talk about that because, you see, that ties into what you say about perseverance. That ties into what you say about our next movement. You know, Me Too was bold, but we need a next Me Too movement to educate us all, don't we? I don't know.
We need something that's not based on the pain anymore. We need something that's based
there you
on
go.
Doing it. And, you know, we have such a much larger platform and a way to deliver it to people than we've ever had before. I'm only one person, you are only one person, but together we have a bigger voice than, you know, being alone. You have a big voice because you've got an audience that listens to your podcast. I have a voice through my book. I do meditations every morning when I talk about words like perseverance, and I talk about, you know, how do we bring that into our lives. I think that little bit by little bit can help. Would I like a bigger audience? Oh, yeah. I would love to be standing in front of groups, not necessarily leading them and telling them what they need to do, because I think that's been done.
Yes, but, it has.
But I would ask, I want to hear the stories, and I want women to think about their own stories and how they've seen themselves growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I'm sure that 99% of the women you talk to are going to have some kind of a female role model that she can say, whether it's mom or grandmother. Mine happened to be a woman who was English, and she was a journalist, and I thought, wow, she's pretty cool. And, you know, because my mother was always talking about writing, too, that's the role model I followed. Even though she probably never knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But Violet Winstead, I'll never forget her name.
But isn't it interesting that we can talk about that in your book, too? You talk about accepting and embracing emotions, and I love that you have this in here because, and Jacob, if they hear me talk about this Senate vote like one more time, right, mm-hmm. You know, because it's on my heart and it's on my mind and I don't understand it, right? It's just I'm trying to work out, like, is there another way that we can communicate? And I'm reading this part, and on the left of the chapter, you list the God. I love, thank you for listening to goddesses. Thank you.
Thank my editor for that.
Thank
her.
Your editor. Thank you, the editor, the whole people, whoever did it. And I get here, because I was going to ask you, where's Joan of Arc? And there she is. The goddesses, Joan of Arc, Catholic led soldiers, right? And you go through Inanna, right? Inanna, totally had statues all over, and somebody walked in my house and said, what is your relationship with Inanna? I said, where's that? Who's that?
Wow, that's too much.
And I think she said Inanna. I don't know how it was pronounced. She was like, what do you mean? I said, that's a goddess of war. You got her all over your house. You're inviting us in not just this book, but the work you do, is to activate something, I think, that is a that will deactivate our forgetter. See, I think we have like a forgetter, like, right? I don't think it's like we wake up and say, oh, I would like to forget. No, but we got this forgetter. Can you talk a little bit before we go to break? Because I like you. I don't want to focus on the pain, although pain is part of the journey. But I want to focus on how do we educate? How do we inform? How does that become power then for you to make conscious decisions, right? But here's what I want to ask you about this. There's so much research that went into this to see it clearly for me. I mean, I see it. I'll acknowledge it. But there's something that was in your heart, outside of what your publisher edited. There's something in your heart that wanted to drive a bigger message. Tell me what that is.
You know what? I think I find that at this stage of my life, I have a lot to share. And, you know, I'm not done by a long shot. And I would like to, I think that this group of women who grew up in the 60s and 70s, and we're the senior group right now.
Yep.
I think we're cool as
yeah.
strong. I think we're really knowledgeable, and I think we have a lot to offer, and I think that we can get it started. We got the power. We've got the voice. We're not afraid to use it. At this stage, my sister always says to me, I don't care anymore. I'm going to say exactly how I feel. I say, well, I've been saying that all my life, you know?
Well, I mean, think about the role models we had, you know, and there are many. I mean, I got to share the stage and got tutored by Shirley MacLaine. And, you know, when Shirley MacLaine tutors you on how to own a stage, you listen.
Right.
Right. I love Shirley. I just love her. Dee Wallace is one of my friends. These are women I never thought ever. This kid from the Bronx, literally homeless at 17, will be talking to women that I just admired so much. And you live in this world, but we have to be bolder. You know, I got to reference Gloria Steinem. She wasn't the only one, but she said some things that took a lot of grief for it.
Yeah.
And I asked her about that. I said, you know, I could pinpoint one thing I heard you say once, and I can only imagine the grief you got. And, you know, we were talking, and I was thinking today, if she'd have said this today, how would the reaction be? Do you remember when she was like Now, the Now organization? What happened to them? Remember Now?
Yeah.
And they didn't want lesbians in the Now.
Yeah.
Right. And she stood up in the middle of like a big rally when asked about it and said very simply, Gloria Steinem with the glasses, we are all lesbians. That line,
mm-hmm.
controversial, got everybody's attention.
Yeah.
Now back then, you say something like that and like, now you say it and you get fan mail.
I remember we started the National Writers Association in Boston, and Marilyn French came to speak after she wrote her book, I think Fathers and Daughters, or anyways, I asked her a question about the point of view she used, and she turned on me, and I can't remember exactly what she said, so I'm not going to quote her, but it was almost like, you know, why are you asking me that? Why are you focusing on the male part of the book when so obviously it's about the female? She snapped me down, and I thought, whoa, I have never had so much respect for a woman than at that moment, because she had no problem telling me where to go and how to get there. It just, up until that point, I don't think I had seen anybody besides my own mother who was strong enough to do that.
You know, I love that you bring that up. We're going to take a short break when we come back. What we're going to talk about is here and now. Why now and how now? Because what you've gotten in your, I don't think you left anything out of this book. I honestly, I'm in awe how you got it all in here. But how is it that we know, or we can know, that we have got that divine in us, divine feminine, divine masculine, but the goddess. And what would you give your goddess's name? Can you even own that you may have that energy inside you? And what do you relate to? When people come in my house and they go in a couple of different rooms I have in here, like you, I've got a picture, like I got pictures on every wall. I mean, you can see from my background what's going on here. But if you go into some of the other rooms in my house and they look at the posters I have on the wall, they say to me, wow, I've never seen a poster of Athena like that. Why does she have the head of Medusa on her?
Mm.
Now, when we come back, how do you find it? What do you do with it? Dr. Dawn Reno Langley is joining me here today. Here's the book. I think, Jacob, you're showing pictures of this now. When we come back, and we are taking your calls, do you have a goddess within you? Do you want to tell us what it is? Would you like to share? 1-800-930-2819. And if you don't think the goddess is best, just stop for a moment, just for a moment, and ask yourself, now, what pop culture movie will I be watching? What am I going to be watching? Or what have I watched in the, was it Black Widow? Oh, do you think that's not a goddess? Oh, wait a minute. How about The Eyes of Tammy Faye? Do you think that doesn't have goddess energy? When we come back, more from Dawn Reno Langley, and you are divine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the hosts to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee-skippee to that, baby.
Don't miss Colette Marie Steffen on The Truth is Funny, This Happens, every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Colette is a renowned energy worker here to help you see the serendipitous humor of the truth. It's funny. Tune in and laugh with Colette to step into your highest potential. Call into the show to work on your personal shift with Colette and visit TheTruthIsFunny.com to learn more about all the life-shifting services Colette offers.
Want to ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Hi, I'm Coach Martez.
And I'm Licensed Therapist with Adrenalation.
We want to invite you to join us on the Coach Martez and Adrenalation Show, where we discuss understanding love, accepting truth, and changing your perspective.
Relationships are the currency to life, and so many couples find themselves broke in their relationships. We want you to join us for a lively discussion and practical tips and insights on how to turn things around and gain the merit for life mindset.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know Your Crazy Beauty with me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our life. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's D-E-N-E-E.com.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Hey, everybody. It's me, psychic medium Jamie.
And me, spirit walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As we connect you with your crossed-over loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup with Joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Welcome back, everybody. Yes, you are divine, a search for the goddess in all of us. Again, as I said before, if you want to call in and just tell us what goddess you relate to, go ahead and do it, 1-800-930-2819. Also, Dawn, would you just let folks know how they can find out more about you? Because, I mean, the book is one thing, right? You're an award-winning author. You're a writing coach. You have blogs. You have articles. There's a whole bunch. What is the best way for people to tap into that?
Well, they can go on my website, which is DawnRenoLangley.net, and they can find me on Facebook. I have two pages on Facebook, and Rewired Creatives is my business, so it's RewiredCreatives.com for the coaching and editing business.
Mm.
I'm all over the place. You can't miss me. You only have to do a search.
And we don't want to miss you. Look, I want to talk about the next step for us, because as I went through the book, I went through it twice, read it once, and then I read it, I think it was last night, I read it again. You have not left much out. You know, and I think about the books that I've read. What?
I have. I've left a lot out.
Well, I was just going to go there. I was going to say, you have not left much out, and yet there's so much more to say.
Yes, I have just touched the tip of the iceberg. I'll tell you, I could go on and on and on. And I really would, I would like to, because up to this point, just about 90% of what's been written about goddesses has been written by men. And I don't have anything against men. Seriously, I don't. But I would like our voice to be heard. You know, the Me Too movement is not just about women saying, I've been abused, and I join with everybody else who's been. It's a joining of voices saying, you know, this is a story that you haven't heard, or that, you know, we've been shutting our mouths about. So it's time for us to tell you the stories and to, continue to tell them, and not to have to, you know, I don't want to have to continue the repeat of the same thing. And I'm going to tell you a real quick story.
Please do. Please.
I went through a lot of abuse when I was married to my first husband. And it was during the 70s, and I didn't get any help whatsoever from the police and courts. Just recently, I had to go to the police station for the same kind of incident. Now, mind you, this is 50 years later. And their response was exactly the same as it had been in the 70s. And I sat there in that police station, and I looked at the cop who was now the age of maybe somebody, one of my nephews, and I looked at him and I said, so what has to happen now? I have to be killed before you're going to do something? And he sat back, and that afternoon came down and sat in front of my house because I had basically shamed him into doing it. But that kind of stuff needs to stop. You know, we have a voice. I mean, we have our population, the female population of the world, is at least 2 to 3% higher than the male population.
Mm.
We have the numbers. All we have to do is say, enough. You know, this isn't going to happen anymore. We want the respect that's due us. We want to be treated like whatever is about us, whether our body is very large and luscious or whether we've got a brain the size of the Grand Canyon, or we want to dance down the street in, you know, ballet shoes. I don't care what it is. We should be respected for whatever we want to do with ourselves and see that quality no matter where we look.
You know, we have the numbers. We need to have the voices.
Right.
We don't have the voices.
I think
we can't even have a dialogue. You know, we're expanding our network, and we've got requests to as to which channels people want next, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are three that come to mind, right? You know, one of them is launch your women's channel. You need to do that. The next one is you need to bring back the green channel, the climate, whatever you're going to call it. And then the fourth one, there's a toss-up. And what do I mean by a toss-up? We're being asked to put up wasn't on our radar until about 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That is a channel which allows conversations. You know, a different type of, I'm going to use the word political because I don't have another word for it yet, but a channel where people can have conversations, where they can work things out. Where you can ask a question and not be afraid that you're not politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, I had somebody on the show a couple of months ago, and they said that we were talking about the domestic partnership, gay marriage, you know, things like that. We were talking about, actually it was about transgender in the Olympics. And the guest fumbled because they said, I apologize, I think it's LGBTQ, and I know there are other letters, but I don't know what they are. So we've gotten so paranoid. And I said, here, it's LGBTQ for you. I get your point. But we have to remove the paranoia at being so practically and perfectly correct. And, you know, I'm talking to, you know, the people that are in my family spectrum on both the Latino side and the Mediterranean side. We have to be able to allow conversations that allow us to mess up sometimes.
And that's
afraid.
Yeah, that's the difference between conversations, which is what I want to see happen with this particular book.
Yep.
Not discussions, conversations.
Conversations.
Two people from different cultures, maybe different races, sitting down and saying, so what is it like in your religious philosophy? How did you see yourself growing up? Oh, wow, that's interesting. Let me tell you what's on my side.
Yep.
Just sharing of information. We don't have to say, you need to do it my way. You don't have to. You're doing it beautifully fine just the way you are. You know?
We had a request from one of our listeners that wanted me to do a show. I do another show called Power Up with Dr. Pat, and so that is a show that is a little bit more controversial, you know, really digs into some of the issues. And they wanted me to do an interesting show. They wanted me to bring a panel together on the show of people that wanted to talk about the violation of having to wear a mask, having to be vaccinated, and on the same panel, the people that were anti-abortion people. And I said, oh, that's a great conversation. Let's bring it together. So what was the underlying premise they wanted to explore? And it was so beautifully put by the listener. I'm probably not going to do her justice. But what she says is, I need to understand the philosophy behind don't tell me to wear a mask. Don't tell me what to do with my body around the vaccination. But yet, I can't support any version of abortion. And for me, I wanted to have that conversation because I want to hear it. I want to know how I have to change my philosophies and understanding. I couldn't get anybody to do the panel. I was like, come on, you're not going to be made wrong. No, I'm not going to talk to them. We have got to stop that. See, we can't be this.
You know,
right? We cannot be this.
Right. Women used to always talk. You know, we used to hang the clothes out in the backyard and talk over the clothesline, share recipes, share, Tommy's got a 100-degree temperature, what do I do? You know, all of that back and forth information has been torn from us. There's a beautiful play, it's actually called The Clothesline, which Nina Freelon of Durham, who's a Grammy Award-winning artist, did a wonderful job with that play. But it's all about that culture of the clothesline and, you know, women's jobs and how women basically shared all the information. We don't do that anymore.
No, you've nailed it in your book. I think you talk about the strength of fireside tales and clothesline chats. And I don't ever remember my female relatives, the women in my family, always agreeing on anything. And yet they did it in a way where when all was over, there was no hard feelings. There was no resentment. And when you talk about the strength of fireside tales and clothesline chats, how do you see the strength of that playing out in what we need in the future for us to bring our voices back?
I think that they're a metaphor. I don't think we're going to have fireside chats or clothesline chats anymore. I think they're a metaphor for what you...
Exactly.
You know, now we've got Zoom calls that we can have 200 people on. Hopefully we will have meetings where we can have people face to face. Right now, I'm thinking that I'm even feeling with this book. I've done a lot of books in my life, and with this book, I did not want to go out and do the big, you know, whirlwind tour around the United States like I did with the last book. I wanted to get together with small groups of women because I think that's where it starts, and that's where it spreads, and that's where the strength is. So do I need to talk to 5,000 women? It would be wonderful to do that, but I think it would lose its power because the power is in that small group that trusts each other, that talks to each other, and that is embodied with a message that they believe in enough to go and tell somebody else.
Yeah. I would love to organize. As a matter of fact, myself and a couple of other hosts are looking at how we can organize something for the summer. But it's small things. It's like I'm at a meeting and one of the women at my table looks at one of the young women at another table and then another woman not so young at another table. And they're, and by the way, these were the keynote speakers. They didn't know that. And says, that's just ridiculous. And I'm like, because I had tank tops on, you know, it was a summertime, right? It wasn't a summertime event. And they said, those tattoos are ridiculous. And I looked at one of them that I knew, and I said, wait a minute, Mary, your husband has got, like, tattoos. Like, what are you saying? Like, you hate your husband's tattoos? She said, no, they look great on him, but they look horrible on them. That little, just that one line of bias.
Judging,
I thought they looked great. And then when they got up to be the keynote speakers, you could hear a pin drop at that table. And they were fantastic. We have lightened up on some of that. See, that, when I think about where we are today, we have less and less of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how women show up. Yep. How women show up now. We have less and less to say about that than we did years ago. I want to ask you this in the last few minutes we have left. Goddess energy and the strength that it is showing, I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're watching a movie like The Eternals or, you know, a cartoon series about it's embedded almost everywhere in our pop culture in some way. How do we help our sisters and brothers bring that divine feminine to the forefront?
Sometimes I think it's just a few moments of thinking about how we connect rather than trying to fill the space with all kinds of words about how we don't. I moved to the ocean about 6 months ago, and I've spent a lot of time silent. And I've discovered, you know, like Thoreau did, you know, all the guys were silent and they could write the books, but the women were home making the dinners. But I've discovered that, you know, it really does take sitting with oneself to realize what powers you might have and to connect with others that, you know, you can feel the energy, but you might not necessarily see them. I am going through yoga teacher certification training. That didn't come out right. And we've done a lot of talking about meditation and about the power of meditation. And I've seen it come to fruition when I've been in Buddhist groups. I'm Buddhist. And even with the power of prayer in a church. That intense concentration by a number of breathing, living souls at the same time is scientifically one of the most powerful things we can do on Earth.
Yeah.
Not only that, but if we're intent on looking inside and really seeing the goddess, seeing the divine, we are not so inclined to be trying to fill that space with negative energy.
Yeah.
And we're recognizing that the person across from us really wants the same things in life that we do.
Yeah.
We all want love. We all want a roof over our heads and family and somebody to hug at night. You know, that's the same no matter what we look like, no matter what gender, what sexuality, what race, anything.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what you just said is so pivotal. And I think, you know, I've been trying to figure out how we do that in the digital age, really. I mean, there's a way to do it. I know there is. I know we'll figure it out. And I can recall being an executive in human resources in what was once the phone company, having a horrible, horrible time with diversity. And we started individual groups, but we couldn't figure out how to bring them together. I remember being at a board meeting, and they could not figure out how do we get these different groups to talk. This group won't talk to the gay people. This one won't talk to the men. This one won't talk. I remember this. You know, this group from the East India won't talk to this group. I mean, I remember being at the boardroom, right, because I worked for the president of the company at the time. And I just looked at him, and Irvin looked over at me, and he said, well, what do you think? It's your job. I said, this is easy for me. Let's have a food festival.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a food festival and set up booths. Let's have food everywhere around, like each of the group bring and celebrate the food of whatever they want. And Irwin said to me, he was the only one, he said, you know, I figured a woman would say that. And all of the other vice presidents said, let's vote on that. And they voted on it. And we had the most incredible, and it became quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure out how to have a digital food fest. I'm sorry. We have to figure something like you discussed and like I'm talking about.
Yep, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it. You are definitely on board. You know, it's all about celebrating the differences. You know, each one of the goddesses is definitely different. You know, Athena does not stand for the same thing Parvati does, or Joan of Arc, or any of the saints. But we can find part of ourselves somewhere in there and say, well, you know, that's a goddess, so I have that. I embody that, and I am too, you know?
Yeah. And you've given us a wide range to really look at, and so many questions that we can explore about ourselves, which are beautiful. And that's really what I take away from this book. I'm sure there'll be more things that you will write about. But I see this as an invitation for us to step into the space of honoring,
yeah,
you know, and start with ourselves. You know, Dawn, thank you for today. Please, again, give out your website. How do people get a copy of your book? Please tell folks.
The book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all your independent bookstores or Llewellyn's website. My website is www.dawnrenolangley.net, and my business is www.rewiredcreatives.com. And all you have to do is do a search, and you can find me on Facebook, too. Or,
I love it.
Or Instagram.
One last question for you. Thank you for today. Let me thank you for today. And I have a funny feeling that we'll be speaking again soon. I'd love to know your personal message. I'd really love to know what you'd like to leave all of us with today.
Every morning I have a meditation that I do on the beach, and it's a mantra that my yoga instructor says, and I just want to leave it for everybody else if they can repeat it silently to themselves. I am enough. I do enough. I have enough. I give enough. I'm exactly where I need to be, and I'm perfectly perfect just the way I am. Namaste.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me here today. For those of you out there that are just tuning in, you want to be reminded, it's You Are Divine, a search for the goddess in all of us right here. Take a look at that. Great conversation. Lots in the book for you to think about, explore. And for me, my message to you all is it's okay to own it. It's really okay. It's okay to own it. That actually is the next step. Empowerment is a word unless we truly do step in and own our power. Thank you, Benny. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Dawn, so much.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks to the best listening audience on the planet. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Just heard an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network. For more information about the network, visit transformationtalkradio.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KMUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Hey, and good Monday to you. Benny Mather here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. We're still on I-5 northbound heading into downtown Seattle. It's heavy just before the West Seattle Bridge. Flow free, folks, through downtown Seattle. It will break free after the 520 and the University of Washington. Stay tuned. Coming up next after the news and weather is another encore presentation of the Dr. Pat Show. Dr. Pat wasn't feeling very well today, so we're encoring a show from last month with the Past Life Lady. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The American Embassy in Ukraine's capital city could reopen its doors by the end of the month. An embassy official says when it's safe to go back, they will go back to Kyiv. The U.S. closed it on February 14th, about 10 days before Russia invaded Ukraine. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's thankful to Poland for opening up hearts and homes to hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian refugees fleeing the Russian invasion. Polish President Andrzej Duda says it's crucial to make the proper moves in Ukraine.
This is really, really important to make good decisions in this very difficult moment.
Pelosi led a congressional delegation to meet with Duda earlier today after traveling to Kyiv to talk with Ukraine's president. The meetings come as the U.S. and other Western allies continue to funnel military equipment and other assistance into Ukraine, where forces are making a desperate stand to hold off the Russian military more than 2 months after the invasion began. Meanwhile, First Lady Jill Biden will visit NATO allies Romania and Slovakia this week to meet with refugees. Police believe a missing Alabama corrections officer helped an inmate escape, and authorities are searching for both of them. The inmate, identified as Casey White, was serving time for murder and a number of other crimes dating back to 2015. Jail records show that Casey White, along with corrections officer Vicky White, no relation, were last seen Friday morning being transported from the jail to court to have a mental evaluation. The sheriff's officials later released a statement saying no mental evaluation had been scheduled. Records also show that Vicky was scheduled to retire on Friday. U.S. Marshals have posted a reward of up to $10,000. New York City is moving from a low to a medium risk alert level for COVID-19. The head of the City Council's Health Committee, Lynn Shulman, is reacting.
People aren't getting the booster. There are people who aren't getting the second shot either, and that's really important.
City Health Commissioner Dr. Ashwin Basan says cases have now surpassed a rate of 200 per 100,000 people in the five boroughs. He recommends people mask up in public indoor settings. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
I'm Richard Serrett, host of Strange Planet. Join me every week as I take a deep dive into all things unexplained. UFOs, ghosts, the paranormal, and the world of high strangeness. Join me for an hour of can't-miss radio as I engage with remote viewers, alien abductees, Bigfoot hunters, rogue scientists, government whistleblowers, and more. It's radio that redefines reality. Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, Tuesday afternoons, 4 to 5.
Want to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Let us help you produce a professionally sounding radio show or podcast. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather. Outlook for Monday, well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and rain at times today. High temperatures around 57, 58 degrees tonight. The rain will dissipate. We'll see still mostly cloudy skies. Low temperatures back down to about 48. Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies. A few sun breaks. High temperatures around 59, 60. With mostly cloudy skies for Tuesday night, low temperatures back down to about 46. Wednesday, partly sunny skies. High temperatures around 65, 66. But the clouds and rain will move back in for Thursday night, rolling in through Thursday.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat McPhilly and Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation from the Transformation Talk Radio Network.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I just had a really kind of fun conversation with one of our other hosts today, Susan. Susan Denae. What an incredible show she has, right? But her brand is really super cool. We've been working with her to help to elevate her brand. She's working on a book, lot of exciting things. But it's fascinating when I thought about it because I was talking with her. And we were talking about Benny and Jacob and Olivia, what we were talking about yesterday, that moment with Will Smith and Chris Rock. And her entire message explains it. So when you're Susan and you got a brand called No, K-N-O-W, You're Crazy, and that is your deal, that is understanding the crazy, like in all of us. Like, and she works with women in recovery, people that are down and out, corporate executives, teams. She works with them all. And we were having an interesting conversation about that because that was even when I was talking about it yesterday, I couldn't describe it. But that was an interesting issue because we were saying, you know what? Like, Susan, if you were working with Will Smith, you'd have helped him understand what his crazy was going on there right up to that point, and maybe we could have changed it. However, and I want to say however, and there may have been something deeper going on there. There may have been, like a deja vu moment from his past, like way past, maybe like another life past, where something got triggered in him. And he was having a deja vu moment. Maybe he was having a deja vu moment about how threatened he may have felt in a different situation, maybe a different life, maybe a different whole everything moment. And he became overcome with a spontaneous combustion. And he's probably scratching his head because he's trying to figure it out in today's world, and maybe he needs Dr. Shelley care. Maybe he needs to have a conversation with Dr. Shelley. Maybe he needs to pick up the phone and say, hello, blast from the past just caused you to catapult yourself out of a seat and do something uncharacteristic to you. See, that's what blast from the past, that's what Dr. Shelley's like doing. Because there are moments in our lives, I mean, Susan and I were talking about this. We've known each other a long time. We have the same recovery journey. Not the same, but we have similar things. And so one of the things that shows up is spontaneous combustion on the inside and out, and it's like from a comment. Hello, not. Today I want to introduce you to someone that is going to give us a dose, what I call a crust-busting dose. You can actually, Benny, we can actually consider this show crust-busting, so you may have to get the jackhammer thing out. But we are going to take you on a journey that says, when you combine, like Dr. Shelley's method, I love this, I could actually see a diagram of this, that like how she does it, like almost like a hologram. Energy work, hypnosis, you put that all together, and then you take the past life perspective on it. What you're about to get from that, if you work with somebody like Dr. Shelley Kerr, if you work with her, if you work with the past life lady, that's like what she, I didn't make that up, that's like what she is, she's past life lady. If you do that, what might you discover? Dr. Shelley, great to have you.
Dr. Pat, this is so cool to be with you. And I have to say, crust busting. I need to add that to my resume, man. This is awesome. And yeah. I hadn't thought about, you're so right, though, about like what would propel Will Smith, who we loved, to jump up out of his seat. You're exactly right, because this is what's happening. Yeah. We're getting triggered by things, and we're behaving uncharacteristically, or we're having weird stuff happen, and we just don't know why. So it's a very interesting point.
I want to talk to you. Can I just hit you up on your death experience conversation for a moment?
Sure.
I love that there are some people, because I want to talk about this for a minute. I love that we are now having a closer look at what we call NDEs. So you remember back in the day when somebody, I don't know who it was, to be honest with you, it could have been like somebody, but somebody said, this is an NDE. And if it doesn't fit this, it's not an NDE. So the way that NDE, for those of you out there, I'm sorry, I do a show with Mark Anthony on Thursday. So like Mark Anthony is like the after, like, you know, the sidekick and the doc show. So I've learned all these acronyms, right? I'm a great student. I love to be a student. I'm so coachable, actually. But I brought somebody on that show because not every experience takes you to the light, right? And so I love the evolution of this, because now more and more people are starting to look at things differently. You know, they're starting to see things. And some people don't actually have to be brought back by a heart, by a, you know, like an electronic, right? You see what I'm saying? Some people, one day they're sitting in a chair, and the next thing they're in an emergency thing, and they don't remember anything about how they got there or what happened. And then all they know, they wake up and they say, I'm different. Now, let's talk about that, NDEs, your experience with it, and how it all ties in to blasts from the past.
Yeah, it's a great point, Dr. Pat, because I've been friends with Dr. Raymond Moody for over 20 years now. So he's heard this story years ago when it was a lot newer to me. And he did acknowledge it, but certainly I did not get into a car accident. I did not have the defibrillator or the ambulances or anything. But many years ago, I've been doing more personal reflection lately about things that happened in the deep past at this point, because I'm like you, I'm a lifelong student, and I'm sorry, if we're still here, then we better be looking into ourselves and learning new things. So I've been thinking a lot about these things lately. I've had, let's say, a long series of weird events. I had stage 4 endometriosis. I recovered from that. I started having a feeling that I was going to leave my cushy job and move to Colorado, and sure enough, that manifested itself in a marriage that happened for all the wrong reasons. got married, went over there. We had a good time, but it didn't work out. So I moved out. And during this time, I started becoming really a little bit isolated. I was isolating myself. I was hearing the inner voice. I started hearing the inner voice tell me there was something wrong with my heart and I was not going to live much longer, even though I have no medical problems other than I had had endometriosis. So one night, in between then, I had also gone to Egypt and Greece, and I think there was a triggering there as well. Like I said, it's a lot of multidimensional things that were going on. So one night, I just lifted up, and I went into a room of light. I saw some beings, and the only real person that I recognized there was my paternal grandmother, because when I was born in this life, I was deathly ill, and my parents were actually told to take me home because I was going to die. There was nothing else they could do for me. And right after that, my paternal grandmother just passed away out of the blue, and then I made this miraculous recovery. So when I went into the light, she was there. And now I'm doing a lot of ancestral healing work, and so I understand now it's taken me a while, because even I have to, I don't always get it at first, that my grandmother must be one of my spirit guides. You know, I didn't know, I'd never really consciously thought about that until recently, but when I was there, then it was all like, that is when it becomes a little bit more akin to what other people report. It was all very cerebral. Yeah. It was kind of like, okay, you're at a point in your life. We're going to send you back. And then I started having this energy just running through my body. I didn't know what this was. I started just knowing how to do things. And that's when I first understood that this idea that if I was going to take people into hypnosis, which I ended up doing later, that these thoughts are stuck energetically in our field and they have to be addressed also. And so I came back from that. Everybody thought I was having a nervous breakdown. I was living in Colorado at the time. I moved back to Texas and I was very sensitized to sounds and I didn't feel like I was ready for prime time, but I'm also very productive. So that's when I started going back to school. Took Reiki classes, took energy classes. I went to University of North Texas, and I enrolled in a bunch of psychology classes, probably because I needed a psychologist. And then during that time, my parents actually found this program at the American Institute of Holistic Theology, which is to get a doctorate in energy medicine, which is what I ended up doing, mainly because, to me, when you're taking classes, you're actually learning. Hello, just like when you work with clients, you're learning. Because we're the students here. I mean, yes. You know, hello. And so this really helped me get some things back together. And then through that, then I began helping others. And it was really the past life regressions at some point that really put it together for me. Yeah. Because one of my friends had been killed in a hiking accident. I saw his ghost in the window. This is why I write so many books. There's lots of stories. And I was so overcome with grief because I was 25 years old. I had never even had been to a funeral before. So the regression process made me realize that him and I knew each other. We've known each other in the past. He tends to die prematurely and leaves me here feeling like there might have been something I could have done. There isn't anything I could do, so I can let that go now. And I recovered from this unresolved grief and all this other stuff that was going on so profoundly. Like, I just had a complete paradigm shift. Like, I was like, oh, I think I can let this go now. That's when I first realized I have to start doing this for others. And then this obviously evolves into the fact of what you're saying about even what happened yesterday or whatever with Will Smith the other night is, yeah, we're being bombarded, Dr. Pat, and we're not aware of it.
Well, this is why I wanted to have this conversation begin it with you, because we're talking about Blast from the Past. We're talking about a book, but we're talking about you being the ambassador of allowing people to understand spontaneous past life memories. And I love that, spontaneous past life memories, right? I just like made an acronym for it. I mean, it's like, I'm like a SPL, right? Okay. SPLM. Okay. Right. I thought it was spam, but then I'm a little bit dyslexic. So it's not spam. It's SPLM. And I started to say, oh my God, that's it. Spontaneous past life memories. But it's hard to find somebody that pulls it all together like you. That's why I wanted to ask you that question, because so many people are dismissed. Now, mine was a little bit different. Mine really was sitting in a chair, finishing up my dissertation. I don't even know what year that was. But sitting in a chair. Sitting in a chair after my dissertation doing the postdoctoral stuff. And I'm sitting in a room, and my little cat that adopted me is sitting there, sitting in the corner, and I'm working away. And the next thing I know, I'm in an ambulance going to the hospital. And they said that I called them. But what happened as a result of that is they don't look at that like you died. They look at it like you disappeared for a little bit because it doesn't have all of the flatlining. It doesn't quite have that. You know, you're not in a coma, but it was the most fascinating thing. And, you know, I started to really look at this recently as we're interviewing people. There's so many people that are having those experiences. Now, I will tell you, I went a full year, every test on the planet they had to give me. Right. They were sure it was something like a neurological. I mean, I was tested for every disease on the planet, every electronic hookup that you could possibly do because they didn't really understand it. So they're trying to figure out, they were trying to recreate it. Okay, that's fun. And the point that I'm making is when that was over, I was different. I did not go on to become a consultant. I went on to create Crest First Show. I went off in a direction and everybody thought, I lost my mind. But what did I see during that time? What did I see? And, you know, I tried to work with some people about it, but I didn't see the white light. But let's talk about what you write in your book, Blast from the Past. Let's talk about this. Because what I started to see were spontaneous past life memories that led to spontaneous future life initiatives. Don't know how, but this happens to a lot of people. And there is so much wisdom if we can acknowledge that maybe that Will Smith moment had nothing to do with this lifetime. Maybe what happened to me had nothing to do with this lifetime. A vision I saw when I was about 9 years old, walked into my house basement early from school, almost in sepia form, a mother, a daughter, a mother, a father, and a daughter, all in like brown sepia, old style clothes, and they looked real. But let's get to you. Let's talk.
Because I still got to get to you. So you're saying that when you got in the ambulance, you didn't remember calling them?
No.
That is so amazing.
They said I had the phone, and I called them, and I was incoherent, and I somehow gave them the address. And, I mean, they showed up, right?
Oh.
And so, and then I don't remember anything about any of that except getting there, waking up, and then having to go through a lot of tests after. But I was different. And this is really the point that I want to really bring because you have so many, you talk about trips you took and experiences. And one of the questions that I always get asked is, why the heck did you pack up from Jersey spontaneously and move to Seattle? Like, why did you do that? You grew up on the East Coast. You know, you didn't even think twice about it, Pat. You sold your home. You had a big truck. You moved to a place that you spent maybe a couple of weeks at with a friend of yours. Why did you do that? Okay, let's talk about the why. Because past life regression and blasts from the past, they help us. Right?
Yes.
Can you talk to the point about how blasts from the past and how these moments from the past help guide our future and even our present?
Yeah, I mean, I've just come to this understanding, Dr. Pat, that just like what happened to you, why did you move to Seattle? Something within your soul obviously guided you there. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people really are really seeking intuitive counsel and advice and things. I feel that many people, and I've done this as well, you know, we ignore the things that we're getting. We dismiss them. But if we would really quiet and just think about what are the impulses that we're receiving, the guidance that we're getting to move or to take this job or to engage with certain people, et cetera, really is coming from a very deep place within our soul. Whether it's from a past life influence. I really do believe in soul groups. I believe that a lot of the people we're meeting in this life we've probably interacted with before. I believe we have certain plans of things we wanted to do, and we planned this out somewhat before. I mean, of course, there's still surprises. There's still room for growth. But that some of the big things we're planning here, we probably
you know, thought about that before we arrived. And so the universe and our guides and God and spirit, however you perceive that, is giving us these clues and nudges through either wonderful feelings, like you and I connecting, it's like, oh, wow, an old friend, or, oh, my gosh, I just saw this person, and now for some reason they haven't even opened their mouth, but I think I'm going to run kicking and screaming down the street in the other direction, or just impulses, you know. And I feel like we need to pay more attention to our feelings and how we're really feeling. And I think that's a very challenging thing to ask people to do in a world where we're very, as you know, bombarded with input and overwhelmed much of the time.
And I love this. Let's talk about what you call it in the book. There are a couple of things you call in the book. And I love your, like, the survey that you introduced in the beginning of the book. But you call something a soup retrovi. Is that
correct? Yes, a soup retrovi.
Okay. But when I read about that, it was like, oh, my gosh, I think I had that geographical thing because I visited Seattle. It felt like home. I extended my stay there. And I moved there, and I had the same experience in Hawaii. I didn't actually move there, but Seattle, it was like I went back home, took my GREs, hadn't even been accepted to school yet, got a U-Haul, sold my house, got an apartment, and I'm off I went. How else would you explain that? Now, your friends and family say you're having a midlife crisis, but to be honest with you, you know, Dr. Shelley, it didn't feel like a midlife crisis to me.
I love it. I've had so many midlife crises, Dr. Pat. I hear you. Yeah, it's the friends and family, you know, they always mean well. They want to protect us. But, you know, to me, it's an awakening of the soul. I think these things are happening at particular times. And in your case, yeah, you had the faith to move out there. You didn't, theoretically, you didn't know what was going to happen. But, of course, it all works out. And I think it works out when you're following that inner guidance. And sometimes, unfortunately, that inner guidance goes against what normal people, and I'm definitely not one of those, but what they would counsel us as, you know, things that make sense or things that logical normal people would do. A lot of the things that we have to do as souls just don't really coincide with those typical rules of society. And yeah, you're right. Like, you could go to a place, you fall in love with it. There's no reason, right? You've never been there. You've been there for 2 minutes. But there's something deeper there. And so that has to be, I think, acknowledged, if it can be. I mean, I think we should just open to these things, and you certainly have. And then look at this. I mean, here you are. I mean, it's worked out wonderfully.
But the whole thing and the way it worked out is a much longer story. But the pieces of it are very similar. Dial a wrong phone number. Say, I mean, there's just so many different
phone number.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why when I read when you talk about deja vu, let's have a deja vu conversation then for a minute. There's that famous line in The Matrix. The movie is The Matrix. The first movie, I think it is. And there's that famous line with the cat. And the cat walks by, and then Keanu Reeves looks at the cat and says, oh, deja vu. And then everybody's like, deja vu? Like, that means there's a change in the matrix. See, when I think about that, I think about your deja vu versus soup retrovi, right? And let's talk about that a minute, because there's this idea of, oh, my gosh, I feel like I've been here before. Or I remember you just saying that an hour ago, and you really didn't say it an hour ago. Can you explain deja vu versus what you call this soup retrovi?
Yeah, it's a great point. I have always experienced deja vu when I've heard it. People, you know, people write me letters, or I hear it from this conversations like the one we're having now, or in my own life. That deja vu would mean, let's say you and I went to have a coffee together, and we're sitting in a coffee shop, and you said something, and I suddenly go, oh wow, I felt like we've had this, we've been in this exact moment in this current lifetime having this exact conversation. And normally these tend to be things that are repeats of things that are happening in current reality, where it's a repeat, whereas a soup retrovi is something, it's a blast from the past. It's coming in out of nowhere like a comet, and it's just smacking us. We haven't seen it before. Sometimes with the geographic ones, people will travel to different places. And again, it doesn't have to be anything exotic. They can go to the next town over, walk into the town square or something, and suddenly modern buildings are actually fading away and they're seeing how things look like in the 1800s or something, or they're hearing sounds that are not happening of wars and battles that are non-existent at that moment. So it's different than deja vu, because to me, deja vu is a repeat, and it's more like you said, like a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk Plato. And because, you know, I've talked Plato before, but there are things about Plato which are really get me excited, and there are things not. But the things that Dr. Shelley has put in her book and the way that she's talking about Plato and about soul, let's just talk about soul recollection, hello, that is something I think everybody listening to this show or that listens to the Transformation Network shows, I think you get. But how do you know? You know, how did she first encounter this? How do you know? And let me ask a different question that I'll give Dr. Shelley time during the break to think about. I've been asked to write an article, and I haven't written it yet, a chapter in a book. And there's a lot of reasons I haven't. But as I was thinking about what to write, I reflected on how I view my life today. Clearly in my high school book, what everybody wrote, and that little thing they fill out, like when you graduate high school, they write little things in a little book. They don't do that anymore. I guess it's all digital. But back in the day, people wrote stuff in your little book. And I came across my little book, like buried in the garage. This girl would be lucky if she made it to 18. We don't know where she's from, but she certainly ain't going anywhere. You read some of the stuff. So I sat here the other day thinking about this article for Peggy, and I thought, why am I, in everybody's eyes, the least likely person to ever succeed at anything? What was it about my past that showed up that way? And what was it about my past that completely annihilated and denied that concept? I'm not going to answer that. Dr. Shelley is, because you know what? Blast from the past, how your past helps cultivate you through a life that you are probably looking at like the most unlikely to fill in your own life. We're going to take a short break. Benny, Olivia, Jacob. We'll be right back. We'll tell you how to get the book. We'll tell you more about this really cool work that Dr. Shelley Kerr does. And we'll take your calls. You want to talk to her about past life? You want to talk to her about deja vu? You want to talk to her about Will Smith? 1-800-930-2819. Give us a shout, Benny. We'll be right back.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, me, Yvonne, and the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Hey, everybody, it's me, psychic medium Jamie.
And me, spirit walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As we connect you with your crossover loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Coach Martez.
And I'm licensed therapist with Adrena Lathan.
We want to invite you to join us on the Coach Martez and Adrena Lathan show, where we discuss understanding love, accepting truth, and changing your perspective.
Relationships are the currency to life, and so many couples find themselves broke in their relationships. We want you to join us for a lively discussion and practical tips and insight on how to turn things around and gain the merit for life mindset.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. So great to have all of you tune us in. Dr. Shelley Kerr is joining me here today. This is Past Life Lady, and I think we can send them to pastlifelady.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. How do we get copies of the book? Tell us about the book. What's available? How do people work with you?
The Blacks from the Past book is available. If you go to pastlifelady.com, right on the homepage, you'll see the links. And there's also a books tab, which will take you over to Amazon to my author page with all of my books there. I do have a limited number of private sessions available. Right now I'm teaching a really big class with the Shift Network, Past Life and Genealogical Regression. I invented this process called genealogical regression, where we go down into past events that happened to ancestors and send healing. So there's a link there for that class. It's a 7-part video course people can tune into. And events and contact page, I have some other classes coming up.
And can I ask a question before we hop off? Because I know we're going to go crazy here. I know I'm due for my next past life regression. People always ask, well, how are you going to do it, Pat? Can you do things remotely? Do you have to be in person? How have you all adopted your skill? How have you adopted this to more remote sessions or not? Can you give us an update on that?
I would love to talk about that because I started doing regressions professionally back in the very, very early 2000s. And I wrote a book called Lifestream that was endorsed by Dr. Brian Weiss, that he endorsed my method, and he used to send me overflow business. So I had a lot of national media exposure at that time. And so I've never done in-person sessions since that time because I have clients from all over the world. I've always done them by phone, Dr. Pat. And I don't understand. I mean, I'm kind of excited that people are catching up to the fact that this can be done, because if I'm speaking to you and you're in your private session, your private space, you're actually more comfortable than if you were fighting traffic or whatever. And I'm still speaking to you. You're closing your eyes and you're going into your interior mind. So I've always done it by phone. I do sometimes do Zoom for people overseas, obviously, but it's the same way that I've been doing the sessions for almost 20 years now, and it works.
That's right. And that's what I love about this, because, you know, what we are talking about, you and I are here for reasons that we can't, maybe you can explain it better than I can, but we are here for reasons that I cannot explain to people. I can't explain to them where the vision of the Transformation Network came from. We're launching our own TV channel on Roku and other places. Where did those ideas come from? I'm not that tech person. It just came. But I live and breathe today knowing that a lot of these notions are not from this life. We have a caller. Let's go to the phone. Let's take our fabulous, fabulous audience member. Benny, who do we have?
Naomi calling in from Seattle.
Hi, Naomi. How are you? How can we help you today? Hey.
Past life information, I guess.
Can you speak up a little louder?
I would like some past life information.
I'm not sure how that's going to work on the show. Do you have something specific, a specific question?
I guess I always have this energy, this feeling that I was a very powerful person in a past life, royalty. And so I was just curious about it.
I think that those feelings come to you for a reason. So
yeah.
I would feel empowered by that myself if it was me. And I would just embrace that feeling and allow those feelings of being a powerful person to, you know, move in your life and inform your life. It sounds very good to me.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's the kind of thing for me that really, you know, Naomi, that's the kind of thing that when you have a notion like that and you don't have the next step. So what does that mean? So, like, I knew that I wasn't going to be a big fat time consultant doing something in corporations that I knew was a lie. But I didn't know that until that experience I just shared with Dr. Shelley. I didn't know that. But I got to tell you, I didn't know what was next. I didn't know what I was going to do with it. It sounds like you may be looking for now what, right, Naomi?
Right.
Like, now what? Now that I've got this idea that I was like feel like a powerful person in a past life, now what? And I think that's the power of doing past life regression sessions. They provide clues. They provide answers. They may not always provide a specific direction. Like, I could not have planned the life I'm living now and what we're about to launch. There is no bleeping way that I could have planned that. No more than Will Smith walking up on the stage and taking a shot at Chris Rock. He did not plan that. And that's why we opened the show with that, because maybe that had nothing to do with this lifetime. Maybe he was what I think Dr. Shelley calls, super retro-V. Maybe it was an object. Maybe it was a comment. Maybe it was a feeling that got him to do that. So I'm going to tell you this, Naomi. If you have got that and that thing is calling on you, are you, like, haunted by that idea? Naomi, isn't that on your mind all the time?
Yeah, kind of in the back of my mind.
Back of the mind.
All the time. It's there, and I know it's there. And
You know what it's like?
It's like
I don't know if you're a mother. You know what it's like? It's like you got that baby inside of you, and you have had that baby inside of you 9 months. And the doctor told you, right? Such a weird analogy. Why am I even doing this? And the doctor said to you, your baby's going to be born. Hello? It's going to be born on December 11th. That baby's coming December 11th. And then December 11th comes, and the baby's not coming. And it's in there. And it's like, I want to come. But it wants to come out, needs a little coaxing. It's going to come out when it wants to come out, done December 11th. And it says, no, I do not want to be born as a Sagittarius. That is not my life. I really want to be a Capricorn because I want to be powerful and have a lot of money. And then you get born somewhere between December and January, and you get the best because you are the baby that didn't want to be born. But the mother knew the baby needed to come out, wanted it to come out. It's got to come out. So my recommendation to you, if you don't mind, we're going to talk about this right now next. We're going to talk about Plato and a whole bunch of things. If that thing stays with you, go get yourself some past life regression or some help on it. Because anything that stays on the vine too long withers.
Okay.
But you are already that person. Do you know that? Do I have to really talk to you about the fact that you are already that person? Hello?
No.
Are you feeling me right here?
I already walked in.
Okay, you feeling me right here? Are you able to say this?
Yes.
Come on. Do this with me. So can you say I am? Go ahead.
I am.
The rest of it, what you said, the thought was in the back of your mind. I'm not going to say it first. You have to say it first.
I am a powerful person.
Okay, come on. Say
and
it with me.
I am a powerful person.
One more time with gusto. Come on.
I am a powerful person.
Now you got it. That's going to click. That's going to trigger. I want you to write down for the next 24 hours every idea that comes to you, even if they don't make sense, even if you have no money in your bank account, even if you don't know anybody that you need to know. Next 24 hours, get your post-it notes, get your phone, get a pad. Okay, writing down is old school. I don't care how you do it. You take your phone, you can text yourself. You can record it. 24 hours, you need to do this now. Okie doke?
Right.
We're having a crust-busting moment here.
Hey, for real. Thank you.
No, for real.
Yes.
Don't let me break out into a rap song, because I can do that. Benny knows it.
You don't have to do that, Pat. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Naomi. Thank you. Naomi, you better call us back later on in the week. I want to hear from you 24. I want to hear you back from you 24 hours and 5 minutes from now. Got to call into the show. Thank you. Wow. What do you think? So let's talk Plato, because a lot of that right there that went on, a lot of what we talked about, and I was so surprised and not surprised how much you use Plato, who I think does not get enough credit for this year. Tell us, people are not knowing what I'm talking about. Can you please talk about how you introduce Plato and then how these ideas carry forth in your own life to talk to why you're you, Dr. Shelley?
Yeah, and I think Naomi's question was perfect segue into what we're talking about.
Yeah.
In the book, I talk about something about Plato that I don't think people remember as well, which is that Plato came up with this concept that he called anamnesis, which is basically defined as a soul knowing. So we've just heard our lovely caller call and say, hey, she was a powerful person in the past. So where does she get that idea from? Well, she gets it from the soul. And Plato first identified this, that there are simply some things that are so deeply embedded within our souls that if we're in that quiet, receptive space of listening to our true selves, we just know them. We don't have to be told these things. We just know them. And if we can, as you guided her through here, just be open to, yes, you are powerful. Just own that and bring forth those gifts of the spirit that are within us, then we can use those in our current reality to become very empowered. And so this is different, again, from supretrovi, which, again, is a comet hitting us, right, a blast coming in from some external source, whereas the anamnesis is coming from the soul and from within the depths of the person. And, again, I think it's something that every single person has if we are allowing ourselves to quiet down enough to listen and just to own the things that we know about ourselves and just own it and just go out into the world and be that.
Okay, come on. We're going to have another crust-busting moment from, Okay, so love this. We're going to have another crust-busting moment from Past Life Lady. We're going to have it. And the reason I want to talk to you about this is because you do such a beautiful job in the book. And for those of you just tuning in, let me tell you about the book. Let me tell you, get the book, right? Because this is where you begin. What I want to tell you is when you take a look at Blast from the Past and you take a look at what Dr. Shelley Fair is introducing, what it does is it breaks things down for me, not into big, long stories about, you know, the technology or, you know, some of the things that a lot of these books do is they write in language nobody understands, like but 1%, 1% of people. But when you read about her trip, when you read about Key West, I had a little thing in Key West too. I hope I got that right. But when you hear about these things and you hear about the stories and then you watch what the sessions are, like, where are you? I'm on a train. See, this is so beautifully done that you feel like you're in the session and you're thinking, but I feel like that too. How do I get it out? Well, this is how we get it out. So let's talk about how your method, not generalities about past life, but how your method allows and enables and empowers people to truly step into it. Because why bother having a thing pop up? Like, why bother having a windshield that showed every channel on my network, every piece of it, at a time where the technology had not been developed? What was it about that? How did I find Oliver in Germany to build it? And how did I know to do it? I don't have that skill, you see? So let's talk about the people that are wondering, I don't know how. How am I going to do it? I don't have the money. Talk about how you bring it all together in your methodology, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think historically we've been believing and thinking, well, if I want to know who I was in a past life, then I need to go have the regression to find out who I was. But in my thinking, we really kind of know who we are if we just own that. So We just then use the guided imagery. All of my books, not just Blast from the Past, but every book I have the processes in here for readers and listeners and viewers to do this themselves. You could literally take a recording app, record the guided journeys. You're going to go down into meditation and just go into these places and find these answers. Let's say, again, taking the last caller who feels that she was powerful in a past life, hold that intention. I show you step by step how to walk in there and say, where does that feeling come from? Let's go to that event. Let's tap into that. And then let's remember the gifts. You know, we all have gifts and talents from past lives. Every single person watching this and listening to this right now, you have gifts and talents that you've had that, just like what we've been describing here, they didn't originate from here. These ideas you had to start your network, Dr. Pat, for example, I mean, where the heck did that come from? You're right. I mean, and I've had experiences like that myself. If we follow those things, you know, if we will, I think when you get inspiration like that, it's so easy for most people to say, well, that was weird, or then we start getting into self-doubt. Well, I could never do that. Well, what if you could? You know, what if you pretend? I always use, like, imagination and pretending. Like, what if I pretend like I'm a radio show host? What if I contact someone and just ask a question and see if this is even possible? Just start taking those first steps, you know, and then one thing, as you know, after another, you meet the people who help you get things done, even when you have no idea how those things are happening. But these little inklings that we're getting, I would just like to encourage viewers and listeners, pay attention to them. You know, many years ago, I had somebody say, you know, Shelley, the difference between you and other people is that you just do the craziest stuff. I mean, if I get an idea, I just go run with it. You know, okay, I'll go start a business, or I'll go call these people. Why not? Because I feel like those things, as you said, they're coming from somewhere. So I've always followed those. And I can tell you obviously have followed those as well. And I think that, yeah, you know, the answers that the viewers and listeners seek are within you, and they're being shown to you through these ideas that are often dismissed. So the book teaches the person how to do for themselves. I'm really into the idea that I'm going to give you these tools. You can go into these spaces yourself, open those doors, find the answers to your questions. And then one of the other ways that this superentropy could happen is through objects, artifacts. So, you know, I go into psychometry exercises where we actually learn how to identify and connect with objects to go back and trace those to times in the past when we may have used these things and they helped us, to how do I identify where I know certain people from. And so, you know, sometimes people are in our lives. I feel they're always in our lives for a reason, and they have gifts to bring us. So just paying more attention and really becoming more aware of those random fleeting thoughts that are going through all of our minds. And instead of dismissing them this time, let's pay attention and take some action. And yeah, then our lives can become truly magical and transformative.
Yeah. And the reason I want to bring it up is because there are so many instances that we go through in life that, you know, many people in their going through in life will dismiss because their life doesn't seem that it could go in that direction or another, right? And so part of the conversation is to really understand what you write about in this and really go down that journey. You know, there's so many things I can point to that don't make sense. I mean, I'm 20, maybe not 21, maybe, I don't know, and I'm walking down the hall of Bell Labs, and I turn to Linda, and I say something to Linda like, I'm going to get a PhD. Now, I could barely read or write. And I just looked at her and said, I'm going to get a PhD. And Linda, just the Linda that you know, Linda, who is my producer, looked at me and said, of course you will, absolutely. And we kept walking, and I said, what exactly is a PhD? Never left me. Now, it took me a lot of years to get it because I didn't have the courage to act on it. And then the universe aligned. And I lost my job after 24 and a half years. And I knew to immediately go back to school. Is that the way sometimes this might work for people? Do things really help and guide us? A thought like that, I didn't know what a PhD. You know how I knew a PhD? I delivered mail at entry level at Bell Labs to people that had PhD at the end of their names, Dr. Arno Penzias, Big Bang Arno, who gave bagels every Friday, and these PhDs were so cool, that's where I wanted it. But not
love
really,
it.
Right?
I just
not
love
really.
It.
Something else from somewhere that I still can't explain today got me here. Isn't that what your book, Blast from the Past, is helping us understand better?
Yes, because you heard the inner voice, and then, you know, for whatever reason, maybe it wasn't time. I still do believe in some divine timing. You were obviously meant to continue, but it was always in the back of your mind so that when that opening came and then you took the action, that's the difference. That's what I think I really want to get across to readers most through the book is just to say, hey, guess what? This happened to me. It's obviously happened to Dr. Pat. It's happening in my mind to everyone. So just be aware of it. And then when those openings happen, take action or just look into things. And you did that. And so it's a great example. And I think everybody can do it.
I want to ask you this last question because I'm a believer that sometimes stress points in our life help, what's the word I'm looking for? Become catalysts to speed things up. What do you think? Because I'm finding these past 3 years, they were years that were tough for all of us, tough for us in business, tough for everybody, right? But they were also kind of a catalytic converter for us here at the network. I mean, is there a relationship between past life events, trauma, and events that will help us see the pathway?
I think it's a great point because, you know, it really has been a unique 3 years. We can rest assured that every single human being alive has been affected by the things that have been happening with the pandemic and everything else. So how it's affecting different people obviously varies. And I definitely believe that in these times of stress, this is where obviously a lot of terrible things happen. And yet there's a lot of good that comes from that. And it has been a transformative time for the society and everything. And so because people are having to learn, as you said, like, how are we going to do business in this environment? What are we going to do? How can we make things better or different? And we really, you know, we're not really ever going to go back to the way things were because we're changed. I mean, it's caused,
yeah.
You know, I've hit rock bottom several times in my life,
I
felt like I'm so thankful that I did that earlier on because then now I'm older, and I feel like the pandemic, I've been to meditation, silent meditations, and I've had a lot of really different things happen that I felt like I was able to get through those times, but I really felt so sorry for, I don't mean that in a really a bad way, but I mean, I just think it's a lot more challenging for people if they've never had to go within or sit still. And I think that's where a lot of the eruptions in the society have come from. But as people start to come within and you know, have to be with themselves, basically, I think there's a great and positive transformation that can come from that, that we're all in the middle of it. So it looks very bumpy and difficult, but I know that we're going to get through this and good things are going to come.
Yeah. I mean, I know we've got a few minutes left and think good things are to come. I mean, past lives, may I just say it in this way. I like to think of things in cycles. I don't know why that is. I don't know why my brain does that. I don't know. But the cycles aren't always the way traditionally we look at them. In my mind, a cycle could take 90 seconds. I can go through five phases of something in 90 seconds. But I want to ask you about this, because in your book, it is everything you said. It really is a call to action. It really is a way for people to get at the other end of whatever end they're at. Now, is that true? I mean, isn't that what your experience is? And isn't that what you see in your clients?
Yes, because I think everybody, you know, a lot of the clients that I've had over the years, and really people in general, they feel sometimes like they're stuck in certain jobs or relationships or things like that, and they're trying to figure out what are the steps I need to take to get out of the situation into something that's more appealing or more in alignment with soul purpose. And I think that this is coming from these very subtle inklings and ideas and flashes of
whoa, that was weird, you know, that are happening to us every single day. So it is a call of, to action to please honor yourself, to please pay attention to these ideas and don't dismiss them as just simply silly or that could never happen. Just say, what if, you know, just ask the question, what if I made a phone call or asked a question about this thing that just went into my mind, you know, this starts to open up a new pathway with new possibilities that will begin to step by step by step lead people to the places where they want to go.
I love it. Look at, thank you for today. Thank you for the work you do. There's so much more we could have talked about because I love how you are integrating so many different things. But in the end, you know, it is like Naomi said, there is a power that comes to us that we can't explain. So some days I call it God. Some days I don't know what I call it. But there's a knowing. And what happens sometimes is when we get that knowing, fight or flight, or being. And my life's path has been to learn the power of being. That's what you're telling us in heart and really trying to help us with, because if we can be, all the other pieces come into place, don't they?
Absolutely.
How do we find out? How do we get the book? And I'd just like to know your personal message and what you'd like to leave us with today.
Dr. Pat, first, it's been a complete honor and a joy to connect with you. You are amazing. And so keep crust busting out there. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. Everything is on pathlifelady.com. I've got a YouTube channel, so if people want to see some free shorter regressions and try those, give those a try. Contact details are there as well. Friends, I mean, we are going through extraordinary times. We know that. There's a lot of things going on in this world that if we allow ourselves, we can just really become in an unproductive state. So let's just try to go within and know that this is a vast universe. We will get through these things, and just one moment at a time, just following that inner guidance, no matter where you're at now, have to change. That's the one thing that we're promised in this life. So just know that things will improve and things can improve. And I just wish everybody